Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 50 on January 30th, 2020. On this episode, we launch the Year of Reva with Reva Alexander Hawk, who's here to talk about the realities of being on TV, competitions, sponsorships, and social media. So whether you're grinding through another week of production cakes, wishing you had time to do a spectacular competition cake, grinding through another week of work on your competition entry, wishing you could just do a regular basic cake for a change, or somehow managing to do both because you're some kind of magical fantasy creature or Time Lord, let's get this show started to educate and inspire you on whatever it is you need to get done. Joining me now is Reva Alexander Hawk of Merci Beaucoup Cakes in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hello.
Hello. I hope that's right to pronounce it all Frenchy. Merci beaucoup.
Yes. Well, technically that's what it's supposed to be, but some people around here call it Murphy Bucket.
Yep. That's
because they can't. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm Canadian and we used to say Merci Buckets.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. So, and I've lived in Austin where streets that should be called things like Guadalupe are Guadalupe. That's so Texas.
Yeah, you get that down here. And yeah. I'm actually not in Atlanta. I'm actually on the outskirts of Atlanta. Takes me about an hour and 20 minutes to get there.
Oh my God. Well, it's huge, isn't it?
It is. And I live in the middle of nowhere in a little town outside of Atlanta. So
in a little town. Okay, no. So yeah, again, now I'm thinking songs, right? But
songs.
I've been listening to, when I've been doing decorating all over the Christmas break, I've discovered the 80s station I like that's good enough also has an all musicals station. So I've been listening to musicals like solidly for a month and a half.
Well, that's going to brighten anybody's day.
I think so. Anyway, how's it going?
It's going fabulous. I may have a little bit of a cough because I've been sick for about a month.
Oh,
can't
man.
Get rid of it. But everything else besides that is great.
Excellent. You had a good holiday?
I did. I tried to make it relaxing, but you know that is not possible in our line of work.
No.
But I did. I had a cutoff date, and that was it. I'm taking back my holidays. And I encourage everybody to do that.
Yes, because you do cake full time, right?
I do.
Yeah.
So, I mainly do wedding cakes, to be honest. But when you have holidays, you got to take advantage of them.
I mean, because there's obvious wedding seasons. So what holidays do you manage to get that's around wedding season?
Well, luckily for us in the South, we don't have too many holidays around wedding season, except for Halloween. So,
right.
But that's not too bad because I just do some cookies and stuff then.
Well, and like Halloween Wars a million times, but that's probably recorded like 6 months in advance, right?
Oh, my goodness. It is recorded a year in advance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's hard because I filmed that in 2018. Yeah, and then it aired in 2019, so.
Wow. I mean, because, yeah, okay, I know I don't watch these shows because I can't get them here.
Well, no,
this is because, like, I just had Mark and Jesse on from the gingerbread thing because that's what they came on to talk about was specifically that gingerbread thing. And I spent a week trying to find first a legal way to watch it, and then I even tried illegal ways, and I could not see. Every time I Googled it, all I could find were Mark's Facebook posts. Because the networks, particularly Food Network, has gotten really good about nuking anyone trying to post it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. They, like, keep a tight rein on everything.
Yeah. And I think it's my suspicion is because, so that one in particular, here on Sky Network, the 2018 holiday gingerbread thing aired this holiday.
Ah.
So my suspicion is it's being kept locked down for the 2019 one, because I bet that will air in 2020 on Sky. So Sky, being like a Murdoch property, which is as evil as you would expect, is probably out there nuking everything because they have the distribution rights for next year. That's my suspicion.
I would probably go with that. But right. They do. They like to have control over their whole property.
Yeah.
So if you're posting anything about it, they want to be the ones posting about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's this whole weird thing. And if you want to get into it, we can either get into it now or we can get into it later. But the myth behind being on a Food Network show or a TV show and and it helping your business kind of a thing.
Oh, you should totally get into it. I mean, I've had several people on talking about that's not as lucrative as the newbies think.
It isn't, and it's not the end all, and you have to really think about why you want to do it. I do have a full course on this that I teach at shows, but it is. You have to really think about, like, why are you doing this? Why do you want to be on a show? And what you actually think you're going to get out of it. Because what you think you're going to get out of it usually isn't what you get out of it. You have to put a lot of effort into something in order to get something out of it. So just being on the TV show doesn't mean you're going to automatically have a whole bunch of customers. Mm-hmm. They do put a lot of limitations on you, on what you can and cannot do, and who you can and cannot talk to.
Right.
So there's all these contracts you have to sign, and basically you're handing your rights over for any kind of advertisement of being on a show.
Right. And, I mean, obviously each production company does things slightly differently, and some seem to be friendlier than others.
Well, I mean, production side is a whole different story, but when it comes to the show airing and Food Network being involved, and this is all top secret, of course, you do sign papers saying that you can and cannot talk about certain things.
Right.
But you also don't realize that they will send you a brief over for PR, and you have to follow that brief, and it really ties your hands, and it's very, very limiting. Now, if you decide not to follow that brief, go for it. More power to you. But they do have the opportunity to sue you, so.
Right. I haven't heard of anyone being sued.
No.
But that might be just everyone followed along.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't usually have, like, a police out there. A Food Network police going through Facebook looking at posts and stuff. But when you're a lead on the show, or say if you've won something, it's always that you have to follow the rules, or they kind of won't pay you in a way.
Yeah. And they definitely won't have you back. I guess that's
exactly.
Yeah.
So you just have to weigh that out and what's going to be better for you in the long run.
Yeah.
And also, top secret, once again, because I always give those out. The patches that you see on people's coats?
Yeah.
Food Network doesn't give you those patches.
Yeah, that's what, because Jesse was saying she wants one. I think Mark has one from the last challenge that he was on, but you can't get those anymore, I gather.
No, well, there's an underground, like, patch thing.
Of course.
If you need a patch, let me know, but then I'll tell you the way to get it. But that is, like, technically, you're not supposed to have patches or anything on your coat that say Food Network.
What, even if they gave it to you?
They don't give them to you.
Oh. So in those old days when they had those coats, they're not
the
supposed
coats. To... They used to do the coats.
Right.
They had that. Like, Challenge used to do it.
Yeah.
The old Challenge?
Yeah.
But they don't do that anymore. Like, nobody is given coats with patches or anything.
Right.
Because Food Network owns the rights to that logo, and they want to be in control of who uses it.
Well, and that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want, I mean... I don't want to sound mean, but, like, if there's a decorator out there who's not great, or is, let's say instead of not great, is working on their skills. If there's someone out there whose skills need refining, and they put that patch, they just make one, because anyone can go to an embroiderer and make a patch. If they put that on there, that does potentially damage a brand. I can totally see that.
No, it does. And then I've noticed lately, because there are so many shows out there right now. There's so many cake shows, and it died down for about 6 months, and then now it's just like gangbusters. It's just crazy how many shows are in production and how many shows are being released all the time, and all those people are getting their patches, and it's just flooded the market, so now it really doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So the larger the patch doesn't mean, like, the bigger you are or the better you are. You'll start noticing now that everybody has different size patches. It's because they're all getting them from their different.
Yeah, I can just imagine someone's got, like, one that's, like, this whole size of their back. And the rest of us are like, no, dude, no.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on the patches, because those are getting out of hand as well.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being all negative, Reva.
No, not at all. Because, no, this is realistic, because those of you who've done TV, I mean, okay, I have a degree in journalism. I've been invited to shows that I have said no to. I said no to one that actually never got filmed anyway. It wasn't Food Network. It was a different network, an American network. And they came to me and I said to Kyla, hey, do you want to do this show if it happens? But then when they sent the NDA, the non-disclosure agreement, for people who aren't into this, it actually said that I could not speak about not just the show, but anything on that network is one of the major U.S. cable networks. I could not speak ill of any show on that network in perpetuity. And that would be a network that has some other shows that I find problematic in certain ways. It has shows I love, but it has shows that are problematic. And I would then be barred in perpetuity from ever saying, hey, you know what? That show had a problem. And I was like, nah, dude. Mm-mm.
Yeah, those contracts, it's like you really have to look over them and really weigh, is it worth it or not?
Yeah.
If you just want to be able to say I was on Food Network and be able to put a sticker in your window, which once again, they do not provide. Mm-hmm. You are getting that and you are actually going against your contract by putting it on your storefront or your web page or anything. You have to decide what is right for you.
Yeah. Being on TV just for the sake of being on TV isn't worth it if you're going to go through hell.
It is true. But you know what? There's people out there like Reva. And there's a couple others of us that like do these shows all the time. And I do them because I have fun. I actually have fun when I'm doing it most of the time.
Yeah.
I have PTSD from the last one that I did. And I think I'm retiring from doing TV shows for a while. But most of the time, I have so much fun. And I go into it not expecting to win. I go into it expecting to come out with some new friends and learning some new techniques. And that's why I do the shows. I'm not doing them for publicity. I don't do them. I mean, yeah, the prize money is great, but I do them actually just as experiences.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I do them, because I enjoy it. But if you're in it just to like, I'm going to win this because I'm going to be so much more popular after I win, and I'm going to have all this business after I win or after I've been on the show, that's not why you do these shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as if you're competing.
Know that.
Yeah, if you're competing at the Austin Cake Show or, you know, any of these, anything where you compete, if you go in and say, well, I'm doing this because I'm going to win the top prize and I've seen that pile of goodies, or that pile of cash, you know, Oklahoma's pile of cash or whatever, and I'm going to win that, then, okay, first of all, probably you're not, because only one person can. And secondly, then you're just going to stress yourself out and upset yourself if you go because you want to push yourself and you want to try something fun. And again, the friends and hanging out and the good stuff, then you have a good time.
Yes, that is very true.
Yeah. I mean, winning's awesome. I really like it.
It does. It gives you a great feeling. But you know what? Sometimes, especially at cake shows, it's not the winning cake that gets the most publicity.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have a beautiful cake and it photographs well, then you're going to get more of a push from people than, say, some of the winners. Not that their cakes aren't beautiful, but some of the winning cakes don't always photograph well. And it's hard to see all the details and all the work and labor that they put into these cakes. I know that this has happened in Oklahoma in the past where people don't understand why a certain cake hasn't won. Well, it's because you're looking at a photograph of it mm-hmm. online as opposed to seeing it in person.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to do the cake shows and enter into cake competitions at these cake shows for yourself. Exactly. Not necessarily for the prize money.
Yeah. In terms of the publicity, because it also depends on who's your audience, because often the winner of shows or something is some exquisite wedding cake. But if you're doing novelty sculpted, then not wedding, or vice versa, right? It could be like what wins, like the CI winner this year was this gorgeous tree. Oh my God, it was so, you must have seen it when you were there. It was like, and you couldn't even photograph it well because it was, there were so many details inside. It was so, so beautiful and amazing. Totally deserved to win. Amazing. People were sharing it long, even before it had won. It was just so great. But like, yeah, if your business is mainly doing wedding cakes, it's not like you're not going to sell that cake.
No. And that's another thing. It's like a competition cake is completely different than something that you would sell.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people don't understand that when they enter their cakes, they enter a cake that it would be something that they would sell as opposed to a competition piece. And then people will get all mad and bend out of shape. It's like, why didn't I win? My cake is beautiful, blah, blah, blah. It's just because it's not a competition cake. It's still a beautiful cake,
yeah.
But it's not made for a competition. It's made for a client.
Yes. And we've had complaints occasionally in Austin. Oh, we've had some epic big ones that have gone down in history, particularly in the showcase category, where people have invested a lot of time and energy, and it's very emotional. We understand that. And some people are like, oh, well, I didn't win. Okay. Disappointed. Whatever. Which is valid. And then there are other people who, you know, drop F-bombs on judges and stuff. And it's like, but there are reasons. And also, it's subjective. And you may have made the cake of someone else's dreams, but not this judge's dreams.
Exactly. So fortunately, I have been judging in the past, and people don't give the judges enough credit. They really just want to criticize what they've been doing. But as a judge, you're giving up your whole day. You're not getting paid for this. And people get mad at you because you are critiquing their work. But that's the whole point of these competitions, is to actually grow. And so if you don't want to be judged, then put your cake on the table with a sign that says, please don't judge me. And the judges will just look at it and it'll be a beautiful cake and they'll walk on by, you know? If yeah. you want that criticism so that you can grow, you gotta allow it.
Yeah, I mean, sense? Some shows you have, like, there are display-only tables, or, like, at CI, there are judged collaborations and then non-judged collaborations. Like, get one of those if you just want to make something fun.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to show off your cake, then just show off your cake.
Yeah.
And don't look at the judging sheet, you know?
Yeah.
If that's going to upset you. But the whole idea is that you're doing these so that you can grow and
yeah.
become a better artist and more skillful at your skill set, right?
Yeah. And it's also valid to say, you know what, this judge didn't get what I was trying to do. And you can disagree. We're all humans. We can disagree.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be a jerk about it. And the number of times I've seen people at various shows around the world be really inappropriate. Like, I have disagreed with a judge at one point, and I was just like, okay, grin, all right, thank you. Or, like, what else? Because, like, what am I going to do? Say, oh, you're an idiot, you don't understand, you... No, you just go, okay, well, thanks. And you just let it go. Yeah, you have to move on.
I've been on both sides.
Yeah.
I entered something that... it was put into a class that I didn't think it should be in, and my judging score was so bad. It was so bad and embarrassing, and it was hard because it was like my friends doing it, and they all know who they were.
Mm.
And some of the comments that were written on there, and it was just like, you can't do that to somebody who has just poured all their time and effort into it. So since then, I was always really conscious of that, about making sure that you have to let them know what is wrong with the cake, or let them know what is right with the cake. And you have to really communicate that as a judge. If you feel that your judge hasn't communicated that, by all means, find that person personally, because we sign the sheets, and ask them.
Yeah.
Please come over to my cake and explain to me what was wrong, or, you know, what you didn't like, or how I can improve it. You got to do that. You can't just go online and be like, they don't like me, so they gave me a bad score.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Go up and talk to the actual person.
Yeah.
See how you can improve.
That's
the best part of being a judge, is actually having the one-on-one conversations afterwards, just so that they can really understand. And after a couple years, you really see them starting, the competitor starting to improve. The ones who listen and really look at their sheets and take the time to understand, they're the ones that come back the next year and win.
Yep. And if you can't, if you feel like something, if you feel ever, anyone ever feels like something has been said on a comment sheet that's not appropriate, go to the show organizers, because I'll say I volunteered at a BSG show here, and one of my volunteering tasks was I was entering judging comments into the computer, and I came across an inappropriate comment, a vicious, mean, not okay comment, and I had seen the cake, and the cake had problems. Okay, the cake had legit problems, but of the two judges, one had said, oh, these are the problems, very professionally, and the other one had been mean. Like, it made me sick to my stomach and want to cry. So I took it to the show organizer, and I said, I don't know what to do about this. And they were, like, gobsmacked, and they dealt with it. So thankfully, the person who got those comments never saw them, because the show dealt with it. But if
that's
nice. Yeah.
That's a classy show. Not all the shows over here in the States, I don't think they do that.
Oh, Austin would.
Because they're just rushing to get everything done. But that would be something that would be really nice for every show to set up, to make sure that as they're totaling all the scores up, that somebody's actually reading all of the
scores. Yeah. In Austin,
probably stop a lot of arguments.
Yeah, in Austin, we don't read all the sheets, or at least I don't know. I don't think it's happened. No. But if I 100% guarantee anyone listening, if something was, first of all, you shouldn't have any mean judges because Kyla's not going to let that happen. If at Austin, I guarantee everyone listening, if at Austin you got a comment that you were uncomfortable with, if you took it up to the Capitol confectioner's desk and said, this makes me uncomfortable, you would get sympathy, you would get attention, it would be taken seriously, and if the show team decided, wow, that was inappropriate, that person would not be back to judge. That would be dealt with on that, like, background level.
But when it comes to competition pieces in a show, you got to follow the rules.
Yes.
That's the most important thing because a lot of people don't follow the rules. Like just the basic rules, like put a ribbon on your board or put feet on your board so it's lifted off the table a bit or use like edible material for a sculpted cake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you want to make sure you follow the rules.
Yeah, speaking as the person who writes the rules. I kind of took that over a couple of years ago when it was determined that I couldn't come to Austin because of my self-imposed travel restrictions, that because I have, again, I'm core volunteer team. I understand what the team needs and what the judges need, but even though I haven't actually judged, but I also understand what competitors need. That's why it was a perfect opportunity. I said, let me go through these rules and make it so that I, the competitor who reads rules, I mean, because the people who don't read, you can't reach them, but the competitors who do read rules, let me make this make sense for me, but let me make it also procedurally good for you. And that's why, is it 2 years ago now, I redrafted the Austin rules. And this year it was kind of, I think Kyla actually did a lot of the editing, but because we had to move Cookie out because Cookie's now Julia's own thing. And I did those judging sheets so that, again, so the advice sheet, so we're telling the judge we're looking for this and this, ignore this. So it makes it more clear to everyone, because why wouldn't you try to make it clear to everyone as much as you can?
Well, I wish all the shows would contact you and have them write and have you write their sheets, because it is so vague sometimes.
I've offered. There have been several shows where I've said, look, I know what I'm doing. I'm a professional writer is the joke. We always say it that way. Professional writer, because people spell it that way. But no, I have these credentials and I'm willing to help because I would like it elevated for everyone. Same thing with the code of conduct that I wrote. Totally willing to do that for any show that asks, basically.
Well, you need to put that out there more. Louder.
Well, although to some extent, if 20 shows had asked, like, can you do this by next week? I'd be like, oh, hell no. it needs to
be. If we just had a standard one, it would be nice. But whatever.
Well, we actually offered, like, with our code of conduct, we have very publicly said, anyone wants to take this, copy and paste, edit, whatever you want, go for it. Because, again, it's about elevating it for everyone.
Yes. And creating a standardized. Well, that sounds bad. Yeah, standardized, you know, competition base here in the States.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't even, I know what you mean with the word standardized, because it's like, we want standard basic expectations, even if each show has its own unique flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as I've often said, because the shows I've done most are CI and Austin. Austin is bring the weird, bring the bold, bring the funky. CI, bring the perfection, bring the precision. And it's not that either show doesn't value either of those things, but there's a different core focus. And so a winning Austin piece is not going to do as perfectly at CI and vice versa, just because of different expectations. And those are all valid. So you do still need to know the flavor of the show. But there are some basics, like you just listed, like cover the board and ribbon on the board and not having exposed hardware and
not sticking a wire into a cake.
There's a good one. Yeah, I mean, because when in doubt, okay, in Austin, we don't disqualify, and we don't disqualify for a wire in a dummy. But the way we rewrote the rules was, do your best practices. Come on. And if you're not sure, put a posy pick in a dummy.
Because I am known as the, like, eliminator. I'm like, eliminated. Get him out of here. And then everybody's like, Reva, you can't do that. I'm like, but they broke a rule. If you break a rule, you're out of here. I'm like, strict. Here's the thing. I'm really good at, like, you know the rules, and then you know where you can bend them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm all good with anybody bending a rule, as long as it makes sense. But if you blatantly break a rule, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Well, that's what judging is about. Yeah.
Or at least have a good story of why you did it. Don't just be like, oh, well, because I didn't read the rules. Well, that doesn't work.
Yeah. No. There's no, I mean, I have a, you know, I'm going to drop it in this episode at some point. I have the, one of my little cake formations is a little thing of, have you read the rules? When was the last time you checked the rules? Pause the show right now and go read the rules. Does it fit in the space? Or flipping it, if someone's on a client cake, have you read the inscription? Have you checked how to spell the name?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You have to double check everything when it comes to cakes. When it comes to client cakes and when it comes to competition cakes.
Yeah. Don't go on, oh no, I'm pretty sure I checked that it was, you know, 30 centimeters wide because, you know, or 30 inches when it meant centimeters or something. Oh God, definitely check. Check what you, they broke a rover.
When you are using, like you're doing a recipe for the first time, you're supposed to read through the whole recipe and then get your ingredients out and then follow that recipe. So it's the same with a competition cake. Read through all of the rules and then decide what you're going to do and then create your piece while following the rules at the same time. It's that easy.
Yep. And I would tell people, I know there's the temptation, particularly where there's a lot of rules, there's a temptation to read just your category.
You'll read all of them.
Read all of the categories because, now this is bad rule management, but I've seen it in more than one place where they lay down a law in the first category of a group of six, and maybe you are only interested in category four in that group of six, but the law that was like, you can't use wire, or you can't use pasta, or you can't, everything requires this. Now that's bad rule writing. I will grant for the competitor's benefit, that is bad rule writing, but that's not going to help you when you're crying because you were disqualified. So read the entire rules. Now that means, like, when I read a flower category, I'm never going to enter it, but I'm skimming it for, is there anything in this that applies to me? And then it's not like I go back and reread that part over and over. What I'm going back and rereading the general, the main part, any tips they have, and my specific category. That's what I'm reading 10,000 times. But if I go through the flowers and the wedding and the stuff I'm never, ever, ever going to enter, I at least read it once so I know.
The good thing is you can read it once, highlight anything that sticks out, and then contact the show organizers if you have any questions about that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yes. But not the day before the show because they're busy.
No.
That is too late.
Anyways, I mean, I'm the worst at this because I'm a procrastinator. But you, when it comes to a competition, and I'm actually going to enter a few this year, and I'm already starting my planning.
Yeah.
Which is like, people are going to think I'm crazy because Reva usually does her cakes 3 days before a competition. But because of that and making sure that I am prepared this time, I am planning everything out now. I'm going through all of my rules, and any questions that I have can be asked 3 months before the event.
Yes.
Not 3 days before the event.
Yes. Because they're not answering. Well, I mean, some of the bigger shows who have personnel. That's a part of it, too. Are you going to a small show, like a small one-day show that's really run by 3 people? Are you going to Cake International? Like, I mean, the scale of staff difference between things like that, you don't expect an answer from a 3-person show the day before.
Yeah.
You know.
And can we talk about those small shows? Because
sure.
I feel that a lot of them have been pushed aside for just the big shows, especially here in the States. So now you only have like your Austin, your SoFlo, your San Diego. And it's like, we need some of the smaller regional shows to pop up during the year where it is just a one-day event or a hands-on event where people can hone their skills in competitions and get used to the judging and get used to the presenting of their cakes with the regional shows. But I feel like they're really lacking here. Or maybe I'm just not on the same wavelength as everybody else. But where are the small state shows?
Well, so I know because, you know, Austin's had some brutal years in terms of, like, it's not just attendance. It's like, because we can still get lots of people in the door, but, like, you know, signing up for classes and the things that actually pay the way for the people who want to make money, because the volunteers aren't making money. But, like, a lot of that, like, dipped a few years ago. And I think with some of the mid-range and smaller shows, it was breaking them.
Yeah, I guess so. But they just, it's really up to us as cake artists or sugar artists or cookie artists in this world of ours. It's up to us to really support our local events.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can get a lot of content for free. You can get everything for free on the internet. Let's be honest. You can learn how to make anything that goes on a cake for free somewhere on the internet, right? But it's really up to us to still have hands-on classes, mm-hmm. still take online classes that you're paying for, and still really invest into our own community. Because if we're not investing into our own community, there's not going to be a community.
Because
everything is online.
Yeah.
You can buy everything online. You don't have to go. Used to be you had to go to a show to buy all these cake supplies. But now you can freely get them on. I mean, like, you have to pay for them, obviously. But you can get them online. And it's easy. You don't have to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But you're missing out on the community. Because as cake artists, sugar artists, cookie artists, we do all of our stuff basically by ourselves. Usually in our homes, in a basement. Maybe you're lucky enough to have a shop, but you're by yourself. And these smaller shows or larger shows allow you to get out and socialize,
mm-hmm.
meet new people, see new trends. And it's really important to make that effort to go to these, because if not, they're going to be lost and everybody's going to be doing exactly the same thing that they see online. There's no individuality out there anymore.
Yep. Also, sometimes people bring you hobnobs.
Oh, that is true. And you gifts.
How I finally coerced you into coming on the show.
And you meet people. All the people that you meet online in your social groups online.
Yeah.
You get to actually meet in person, you know?
Yeah.
Have a day of sharing. Like, I could probably find a handful of people in Atlanta that just want to meet up and share cake techniques or talk about their families while eating cake. It's like, we need to, as a community, come together and do some of these things. So we're not just remote beings on the internet. Yeah, well, I'm sorry, that was a rant.
No, it's 100% valid rant, because this is why, you know, ICES wants to, and look, I said it right. I said ICES. I'm just so proud of myself.
I call it ISIS.
I know, everyone says ISIS, but we're supposed to be saying ICES in the days of people flying through airports and not wanting to be with ISIS. ICES.
I have my Google Home, so as soon as I say ICES, I know the government's listening.
Exactly. I mean, the lagging membership was, I mean, it was for lots of reasons, you know, it was an aging population and not getting, you know, younger people involved. I mean, BSG, the British Sugar Craft Guild, has the exact same problems. I kind of had to quit BSG over some of them, to be honest, because they weren't receptive when I said, look, here are some ways you could get more people involved. And I had a couple people who were really kind to say, you know, you're right, go talk to this person. And then I would talk to someone else who would just be, no, that's not how we do things, except that, you know, in a British accent. So there are these organizations that you can belong to. We have a problem right now where, I mean, obviously Kyla's been joining ICES to do a lot more of the web stuff and get a lot of that up and running and online in a way that attracts the younger people. But we need to bridge that connection, because we have these incredibly valuable institutions that are on threat of dying because of lack of support.
Yeah, support and interest.
Yeah.
But you figure, I mean, you got to change with the times, and that was obvious, and nobody wanted to change with the times over there.
Yeah.
But now they're starting to. So hopefully we can all kind of get on board and regroup again as the International Cake Exploration Society.
Yes.
And really, I mean, I think they have some cool new teachers coming into the Reno show this year. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that only because I'm one of them. And, I'm just kidding. And because it really does need to happen again. It needs to blossom again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for some reason, it's working in the cookie world, right? I mean,
yeah, like the cookie world's exploding. Yeah. So
it's crazy. It's like out of control. Everybody wants to go to it. And that's the way ICES used to be.
Yeah.
It used to be everybody wanted to go to it. It was the place to go, the place to show off your cakes. There wasn't a competition. I think there is now, but I'm not sure. It was the place to, like, just really show off, buy your new tools, find out what was new in the industry, learn some old techniques, learn some new techniques, and just really bond and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of died.
Yeah, it was fizzling.
Kind of died for a while.
Yeah.
So I think they're rebooting it a little bit, mm-hmm. and they're just trying to make it more modern, hopefully. Because if the cookiers have a cookie craze for going to CookieCon, the cakers need to have a cake craze.
Yeah.
To going to Cake Expo, I believe is what they're calling it now.
I'm a member. I'm on a self-imposed travel ban to the United States, which is political, not cake-based. So I'm not going. Well, also because money, you know, there's the money and now also
it's
carbon
expensive.
Footprint.
It's expensive, but you know what? It's expensive to go to SoFlo and we all go there.
Right. I've never been to SoFlo.
Oh, it's amazing. So when your travel ban is lifted, sorry.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens in November. But
it is hard, but it's hard because there's like a few shows that everybody just wants to go to. And unfortunately, Cake Expo wasn't one of them, or ICES wasn't one of them.
Right.
But hopefully they'll get that back up and running because they're the core group that really sponsors the smaller state groups.
Exactly.
Because each state has their own representatives and meetups, and that really needs to come back, I feel, because there's a lot of people out there making cakes, let's be honest, and a lot of people don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They only know from watching time-lapse videos on Instagram.
Right. Yes. And even if you look at YouTube or something, that's different than having someone say, no, hold it this way.
Yeah. And I'm a big proponent of there's not one way to do it. There's always 10
ways.
Right,
yeah. No, but I mean, if you're having
that
a problem.
Way, you got to find one of those 10 ways that works actually for you.
Yeah.
Not for the person that you're watching. And that's why it's good to learn from a handful of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
To really, like, not just one person. You got to learn from a bunch of people and find out what works for you. And then develop your own style.
Yes.
Not the style of so-and-so. You want your own style. And
yes.
There's none of that out anymore. Everybody gets on one trend and then that's their style. And then there's 100,000 people doing that same cake or that same style.
Right. And to some extent, I bet that's lucrative. If all you're trying to do is put production cakes out and you see how random person we all like does a face or does a particular a piping or whatever, and that person lives 10 states away, so there's no way that they're going to supply your market. And I can see then once, someone else saw that person's cake on Pinterest and they come to you and they say, we want this cake. Like, I understand market wise how then it's
no,
like,
I totally get that.
Yeah. But that's not
you
art.
You need to have your base underneath you of knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it. I always equate it to like ice skating. You have to know how to skate on ice first and the proper way of doing it before you can start doing all the jumps.
Exactly.
Because at some point you're going to fall. So it's like, get some of that base under you. Go take a course or an online course with somebody that you totally trust and really understand why you're icing the cake. Like, be able to ice a cake without an acrylic piece.
Right.
If you want to use acrylics, that's great. But know how to do it without it.
Yeah. I mean, it gets to speed you up, but I mean, I've never actually gotten around to buying the acrylics. I keep wanting them, and then I look at the price and I'm like, I don't really need it relative to that cost.
And that's fine. Yeah. Learn how to do that.
Yeah. But then.
But know why you're doing it. Like, I'm doing it this way so I can save the time, but I know how to do it. Like, what if you didn't have a piece of ice acrylic?
What if someone orders a different size?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Know how to ice a cake.
Understand what a crumb coat is for.
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, this part of what I like teaching beginners, because there's a freshness. When it's just someone, it's just like a person in the community who sees cool cakes and they want to try it and they don't have any particular aspirations to, you know, go out and sell the next. I'm not saying that's invalid. Obviously, it's not invalid. But I really find joy in teaching kids and absolute beginners, because if they walk out of the class with a cake that has even vaguely smooth fondant, they're so happy.
Exactly.
And watching a beginner's eyes light up when you teach them the basic trick of how to lift the fondant over with the pin. They think you're a magician because it hasn't occurred. Because they've seen the cake TV where some people can put their arms under a giant piece of fondant. And first of all, that's also probably more expensive fondant. So their hands aren't going through it. Or it's modeling chocolate based fondant or whatever. But
it's always satin ice because they use satin ice on these shows.
Oh, really? Okay. So, yeah, I'm a fan
except
of satin ice.
I use Renshaw. I take my own.
There's.
I always take, and maybe that's why I win, but I always take my own supplies.
See, I use Renshaw here from time to time, but I also use Cheap Tesco because it's cheap. And mostly I'm not selling. Mostly my cakes are going to the school.
Yeah. You know. I'll tell you, you can lift a Wilton up really easily too and slap that on a cake.
Really? You know, I've never used Wilton fondant.
Yeah, it's always good. Okay. So I am associated with Renshaw in a way, but everybody is always like, what's your favorite fondant? And I'm always the one that's sitting in front of me.
That's right.
No, but if it's, you have to be able to use all the fondant because mm-hmm. each one is a little different.
Yeah.
So you really got to try and test to see which one works best with your body because some people have hot hands, some people have cold hands, some fondant is going to work better for some people and it's going to not work for other people. Mm-hmm. But it really is a matter of once you hone your skills and you're good at your craft, it doesn't matter what's in front of you. You can use it.
Yeah. I mean,
so it doesn't matter. Some of them. It could be the cheapest fondant in the world. It could be the most expensive fondant in the world. But if you're good at your craft, you're going to be able to put that on a cake.
I mean, some of them have variants. Comparison I used to make, particularly when I lived in the U.S., and the two, I mean, because I made my own a lot of the time because I was cheap. And fondant is dirt cheap here in the U.K. I can go over to Tesco.
Time is money.
Yeah, I can buy a kilo of fondant, of the Tesco-based fondant for, I think, like £2. That's a lot. That's more than enough to cover a cake, and that's not very much money. That is the cheap fondant. That's obviously Renshaw's a little more, and then like you can get into the couture ones that are super expensive. But when I lived in the States, I wasn't buying fondant. First of all, I'd get Satin Ice left over from the show. So I always had some random extra bits of color, but not enough to cover a cake, but to do figures. And then occasionally we'd get Fondex. I mean, sitting right beside me in lovely radio speak, I will hold... that is my Fondex pail of markers.
I used to love Fondex. That was my fondant of choice.
To give an idea how old this tub is, it best if used by August 31st, 2011. But this has been my marker tub for years. But I used to get, because of the Austin show, we would get these bits and pieces. And mm-hmm. I preferred Satin Ice because I made figures and Satin Ice dries rock hard. Fondex stays drapey forever. I don't do beautiful drapey things. So the Fondex was like not setting up and making me crazy. But if I did drapey things, yeah. So you
every
need
fondant
to know.
Has its own personality. Yep. So like you just said, like I would say that Fondex and Renshaw are fabulous for covering cakes, like especially here in the States. The Renshaw in the States is different than the Renshaw where you're at right now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It has a different recipe just because we have different rules over here.
Oh, for FDA. So,
It's soft, but it's great for covering a cake. It's great for doing ruffles and swags and all that. Whereas your Satin Ice, you were right, it's going to dry out faster. So it's good for little figures.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously the gold standard right now is Chocopan.
I've heard, I haven't used it. I've heard people saying amazing things about Chocopan. I got a new one here from the, you must have got it too because you went to the Cake Masters. This, what is it? Eleganza. I haven't really tried it yet, but that's
it. I haven't tried it yet. I have a box of stuff to try.
No, I did try a little bit. I'm lying. Those cookies I made that I posted over Christmas that had the 12 Days of Christmas thing where I was playing around with the patchwork cutters from the 12 Days of Christmas and I was playing with painting. I put the smaller Eleganza block that we got from the Cake Masters Awards, I tried putting that on the cookies. I would say it's behaving like you would expect a sugar paste with chocolate in it, where it's very stiff, but then it warms beautifully. Mm-hmm. I didn't eat any of it. I'm diabetic. I don't eat fondant. I barely eat sugar cookies. My husband tried it, and he said, yeah, it's good. It's fine.
Is it almost like the Dream fondant? Have you ever used that?
No, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, it's nice, too. It's owned by Satin Ice now, too.
Oh, is it? Okay. I keep saying, like, I want Satin Ice to sponsor this podcast because nobody sponsors my podcast. But because I'll just suck up to them.
Sometimes that's better to not be sponsored.
I know.
Because then you can talk about and do whatever you want.
Well, but see, that would be the thing. If anyone ever came to me with sponsorship money, I would say, look, I could be sponsored by Satin Ice because it is no problem for me to say I like it. I prefer it for these reasons. Satin Ice dark chocolate is... heaven. It's what I put on my birthday cake because it's so good to eat. It's so good. I've used other, Renshaw chocolate is also fine, but the Satin Ice is darker and I like it. I just like the taste better. Okay. But I would never take sponsorship money and then say, but now I'm going to slam Renshaw, or now I'm going to say, because that, no, not playing that game. No.
Yeah. And the thing is like, I'm associated with Renshaw because I actually love the fondant. Like, I really like the fondant over here, and I love the gum paste as well. So that's why I don't have a problem saying that, because I actually use it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually use it, and I have, and I love it. But when it comes to other sponsorships, and this is a good way to segue into the amount of patches that are on people's coats, it's getting ridiculous. It's like, if you're going to actually back a product and say that you're using it by putting a patch on your coat, you actually need to be using it all the time, people.
Mm-hmm.
It drives me crazy. I have a lot of pet peeves, I think. Oh my gosh. I got a new sticker. I ordered it online because I'm like that. And it says, please don't pet my peeves.
Out of it. I love that.
Please don't pet my peeves. Oh my gosh.
No, that's legit too, because, well, Val and I were talking about this at CI, and I put it on the CI show about how with sponsorships, you should, if you're being sponsored by someone, feel that you can go to them and say, your new product doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And feel that they listen to you. Doesn't mean they're going to change it, but that they listen to you. Mm-hmm. And you should feel that in general, you're using those products as your preferred products, not because they're giving to you for free or paying, or God, I hope more of you are being paid than just free product. But I know the reality of the cake world that mostly it's free product and not pay. But
mostly it's free product and not paid. And if you can get somebody who pays you, then you need to honestly enjoy their product, use their product.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just they're asking me to do this and they're giving me a patch and I'm just going to do a post or two about it. No. You need to actually use the product. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah. If you can't stand behind the product, then don't accept the sponsorship. That's because, you know what? The rest of us can tell when it's not legit. And offhand, I can't think of anyone I know who doesn't love the product that, I mean, there probably have been some that I've seen and been like, whatever. But like, when I think of, I'm sure Molly Robbins loves Rainbow Dust. I know she does because she talks about it when she's not on camera. I don't know if she also uses other kinds. I don't know. She clearly is sponsored by them.
She mainly uses Rainbow Dust. She really does.
Yeah, exactly. So like when you see her, on the TV shows here, when you see what's in the background, because we all do that. We all peer into other people's kitchens. The muggles watch cake shows to see the end product, and the rest, we watch cake shows to see, what do you got in your cupboard? Where'd you get that brewing pin?
Awesome. Yeah.
It's time for a podcast helpful reminder. Are you working on a competition piece? Are you working on a client cake? When was the last time you checked the rules for your competition entry? When was the last time you read your client contract to make sure that you're spelling that name right? You're working really hard, I know, but every once in a while, you need to pause, go check that you're doing it right, because you're an amazing artist, but we all make mistakes. So right now, if you can pause, go check what you need to do, make sure it fits in the space that it needs to go into, make sure everything's spelled right, and then get back to work, because you're awesome.
So yeah, this is the cake world. We're not a NASCAR championship.
Yep.
Like, thing over here, we don't need to have 20 sponsors on our stuff. Like, find a product that you really truly love, connect with them, and whether it's a year of free product or you're actually getting paid, which is the way it should be done. If you're going to sponsor somebody, you need to get paid for it.
Stick nice.
With one or two companies that you truly love and support, from the product to the people who make it, and then use them. And not like use them, but you have them as your sponsor. Contact them to be your sponsor. Don't just have willy-nilly sponsorship all over the place. People can send you free product all the time and you can post about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. But that doesn't mean that you're actually an ambassador or that you talk about it 24/7.
Yes. People send me stuff occasionally for the blog, for review. Not as many as actually, not so many in the cake world. It's usually like cookbooks and a lot of the PR I get misses the point. They say, we love your blog. And then they'll offer me something hot and spicy. It's like, then you didn't read my blog and saw that I'm allergic.
But I'll take it anyways or to somebody else.
The number of Austin-based companies who offered me alcohol. And if you've met me for 5 seconds, you know I don't do alcohol. I even make my own glycerin-based vanilla so I can offer a completely alcohol-free product to myself and to anyone if I ever actually sold a cake. So when they offer, they're like, oh, new spicy tequila in Austin. And I'm like, wrong on two counts. But we love your blog. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. So, yeah, I ignore like probably 80% of the sponsorships, not sponsored, of the free products that people offer me because they're not anything I want.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, and if you say, yeah, send it over, but you're not going to guarantee that you're going to talk about it. And then if it's something that you're definitely not going to use, gift it to somebody else. But yeah. I feel that people are all caught up in a numbers game right now. Like they want to have the most followers so that they can get sponsorship, so that they can get free stuff. But if the free stuff you're getting isn't any good, then why do you want it?
Yeah. And honestly, a lot of it isn't. Again, because I'm not talking about the main cake world people. You know,
we're talking about just other random people.
It's sometimes a lot. What it is it's a third party that's out there in the periphery and they see, oh, here we can make some money in this space if we get an influencer or two. So they'll do a search and they'll come up with your blog or whatever. And they'll say, here, we'll give you this free thing. Okay. I got asked to do some reviews of a variety of products by a store, doesn't exist anymore. But here in the UK, I had not heard of them. They asked me and I was like, okay, sure. They sent me a bunch of stuff and I looked in the box and I'm like, okay.
It was all sex toys, wasn't it?
No. Oh God. No. The first thing I pulled out of
the evidence.
Well, we do keep talking about having eat the evidence after dark. For paid subscribers only, of which I have none. So, yeah. No, the first thing, I can actually see it. It's sitting on top of my thing. It was a polycarbonate heart mold that, if that's not a Fat Daddy-O's ripoff, I'd be shocked. And so I pulled that out of the box. I'm like, huh, interesting. I then pulled out this, like, a lace mold, which I thought, wait a minute. And I went over to my pile of molds, and I had that same lace mold from Lakeland, which, incidentally, is now a store known to sell knockoffs. So I don't even know who made that one first, but I have two copies of this lace mold, and I don't think either of them's original. Then in the box is a mold of a little baby. And I'm like, oh, holy hell no, that is the first impressions baby mold.
You got a box of Chinese knockoffs.
I got, but from a UK store, and it was, they were knockoffs. And everything in that was a knockoff. Now, this was before I did the whole episode. In fact, this was before I was doing the podcast, I think. It was before I'd started I had the blog, but not the podcast. I did the episode a couple years ago on knockoffs and how they hurt our industry. I kind of didn't know what to do because I had agreed to review something. I had said that the agreement wasn't that I was going to review everything. They were going to send me a variety of things and I would cook with the things. I would bake, decorate, whatever with the things. So I ended up doing a post with sort of a generic-y, like shaped muffin thingy, like mini cake thing where they had like a floral design on top. Kind of like generic enough that if that is someone's design, it's super generic. Do you know what I mean? And so I did a review of that where like I basically did like a chocolate filled thing. And I think I did another one. There was one where it was like little presents. Again, really generic. Anyone could make a mold that looks like presents. And I made some little chocolates and I posted that. But the rest of it, I was like super uncomfortable. And I kind of was getting up the nerve to go back to them and say, you know what? I think this is a problem, when the store was then gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I get that a lot too when you make an Instagram post and you like I did a bee thing and I tagged like something like Save the Bees because it was connected with one of the Halloween Wars episodes.
Mm.
And then I got this message that was like, "Oh, we want you to team up with us and will you be an influencer for us?" And I was like, "Okay, this is not right."
Yeah.
And then they it's basically Chinese groups, because if you order anything, then like it's a little package from China. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird. But if you, I notice that I'll just randomly tag certain things in my posts that have nothing to do with cakes. And those are the ones that I always get like, hey, would you like to be part of our group? Would you like to sample this and send this? And I was like, okay, you can send me whatever you want for free, but I give it away as a gift.
Yeah.
But if you tag random things, I've noticed on Instagram that you get random responses.
Yeah, I never get it through I don't post much on Instagram. All I basically do is post the little headliner videos for this podcast.
Instagram is a beast.
Well, I post on Facebook because, again, if you know me for 5 seconds, mostly what I do is long-winded rants about politics and feminism.
That's where your audience is.
Well, yeah, because, well, I have different audiences.
They know where to find you.
I mean, like, Facebook is this weird beast for me because if someone friends me on Facebook and I hover over the mutual friends thing, I can instantly tell they're a cake person, they're a WI person, or they're a local mom person. Because of who's, who, like, if there's like 330 friends in common, it's a cake person. It's a sugar artist. But then I do go check. Every time someone friends me, I go check what's on their profile. Because if I see something that's not okay, which we don't need to get into the politics, because we all know what I mean. If I see something that's not kosher for my needs, I don't take them back. Oh, and G+, because I used to be big on G+. For some reason, I ended up in all these, because the way G+ worked with circles, and then you would share the circle. I had like over 40,000 followers at one point that I did not ask for, most of whom were, well, what we'd now describe as incels, okay? Like guys I didn't want to talk to, anti-feminist jerks. And I kind of left G+ before it ended to come to Facebook, which I hate Facebook, but I had to get away from G+ because it was so toxic. And I kind of locked my Facebook down and said, no, you can't be a jerk in my space here. You just can't.
Well, yeah, you have to set your parameters no matter where you are.
Yeah.
You got to set your parameters.
Yeah, because I used to spend so much time on G+ arguing with awful people. And now I'm just like, no, bye.
You know what I found, and this goes in the cake world or just the general world, is if you're going to say something mean or nasty, I'm just not going to respond, and I'm going to unfriend or unfollow or get rid of you.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it.
No.
It's not worth to have the negativity in your life.
The stress.
It really isn't. When a show airs or something, I have been pretty lucky where I haven't had any like big trolling issues or anything like that, but like sometimes I just like, I know the show's aired and I just won't go on certain platforms because I'm like, I don't want to deal with that right now. And you just have to know how to censor yourself out of a situation. You go back and look later, but it's best not to look at things.
Well, that's why used to never do New Year's resolution, but in 2019 my resolutions as they were, I'm not going to check Facebook after dinner anymore. So I'm not going to bed feeling stressed about conversations because if I'm talking to someone who's in the US and they're 6-8 hours difference, whatever, they could be, snarky on me in my post and I can't even respond because I'm in bed. And that was making me not sleep. So I don't check Facebook after bed. After dinner, before bed. That really helped. And then the other thing was, if you're enough of a problem that you're stressing me out, bye. And then so I've upgraded to 2020 is I'm not even discussing it with you anymore.
sometimes you can't. You just have to be like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Or like a lot of times they'll just do like a smiley face. Okay, yay.
Yeah, and also what I keep saying,
I read it, but I'm not responding.
Yeah, I've even said I don't care who you are in the cake world. Because for a long time I was like, oh, I can't boot this person because they're involved with me in this cake world on this thing or over here. And I've just started going, no, you know what? That's fine. I can actually not have that person in my life. I don't owe them my time. And it's been really hard.
I found that that's the best way sometimes. It's just like, obviously we're not going to be like great friends or we're not going to be colleagues. So let's just move on. It's okay.
Yeah. So like what you were saying about the numbers game, I do not want thousands of followers because I don't have the emotional energy anymore to cope with it. If someone, like in the cake world, it always happens, especially after you've been to a show, you go to CI or whatever, and for like a month afterwards, you get friended because either you've met someone or now because you friended someone there right on the show floor, which is great. And that's lovely when it happens. Now their friends see you pop up as someone. And so they add you. And like I said, I go and check. Okay. I see no obvious racism or whatever. Okay. I friend, particularly if it's a person of color who friends me, I'm like, you're probably not going to be racist. So I just, okay, fine. But then it sort of wanes off, and then you get to this weird lull of then someone randomly friends you and you're like, why?
I do get a lot of that. I get random friend requests from, right now I'm getting a lot from India.
So am I. And I think that's
or Pakistan. It was Pakistan. Amazing Wedding Cakes just started airing over there. So that's like the show that keeps on giving. And I know when it starts to air in a new country, because all of a sudden I'll get an influx of friend requests.
Yes, I think it's
part of the world.
It's also because there have been several high profile collabs where then, again, what's going to happen is you're friends with person A who has been in the collab, and then they're now they've friended everyone else in the collab. So a bit like Amazing India and some of these collabs, Facebook is going to go, you should all be friends and extend that out.
Because, but I do. I go through and I'm like, I don't know you. I'm sorry. I don't know you. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I mean,
delete. And then I get them from like Halloween Wars and stuff. I got a slew of people. But you can tell like who are super fans and who are just like cool people and who are just like, I just want to be friends with you. I'm like, okay. Delete.
Yeah. And every once in a while I go on a clear out of like deleted accounts or weird spammers. I mean, I've been getting a lot lately that I can tell what it is. It's the spammy supplier, and it will say that we have like 30 cake friends in common.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go look at their posts and every single one of their posts is just a sales post. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope, bye. Because I didn't feel my 30 friends who friended them didn't check. So
yeah, you gotta research. I do that.
Yeah,
I'll take like an hour and just be like, okay, nope, yes, nope, yep, maybe, nope, okay, yes. Just go through. Could you ever do that where it's like all of a sudden you're like, wait, what are all these people doing over here?
Yes.
And you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't checked this in a while.
Yeah.
And then I feel bad when it's like actually somebody I know from church. And I'm just like, I wasn't blowing you off. I just didn't know that you had like sent a request 3 months ago.
Right. But that's again, like, because you have that in-person community and then you have the cake community, and Facebook sometimes doesn't know how to cope and how to weight it. So I find I often don't see my local friends' posts because I'm interacting more on the cake friends because they've made a beautiful cake. Do you know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. Facebook in its infinite stupidity often weights things so that I'm seeing a random stranger's cake, which is a beautiful cake, and I'm going to click like. I'm seeing that over instead of the random coming up of my friend is actually having a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
That I wish I'd seen that. I'm so sorry. Oh my God, you went through that 2 days ago and Facebook is only showing it to me now. And not that the cake wasn't valuable, but I wish Facebook had shown me my friend who was having a mental health crisis.
Well, you know those friends that are really close and important to you, you have to actually comment
yes.
on their posts.
Yes.
You can't just like or heart or put a sad face, because if you do that, it's not going to be as high in your feed, I believe, that if you're like commenting on somebody's.
Yes. And if you share from them more. But see, that's yeah. the thing, because I share the pretty cakes. So Facebook is overweighting some relationships because I share the pretty, whereas I'm not going to share someone's mental health crisis. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Right.
And it's so sad because my mom's like, oh, did you see so-and-so, like a cousin, like they did this or they had their baby. I'm like, no, because I'm not. I'm on Facebook, but I'm not on Facebook all
right.
the time. So I have to, I like go and search out like my friends. I'll just search for them and go directly to their page instead of like looking in my feed anymore.
That's what I do with some people.
My feed is just like filled with stuff. That it's like if I want to actually know what my cousin Jennifer is doing, I go just to her
mm-hmm.
directly. If I go want to know, like, is Vicky Kane doing anything online, I will go over there and look over there. But Jean, I get Jean's posts all day long because
we get her stuff all day
liking and talking.
And she's one of the few ones I get where I get both her actual post and her business page. Debbie Gore just put out a cake and I didn't see it. I saw a share of it first. I
haven't even seen it.
It's oh, go look.
I'm looking right now.
Go look! It's so good!
That's funny.
It is.
It's like I'm always on my phone, yet I'm not really on my phone. Like, I'm not really...
Well, see, I don't do social media on my phone, so I can escape it.
I'm posting... Like, I'm posting to get my business stuff out, but I'm not really socializing as much. I haven't been really in any of the cake groups for about a year, and I think that that is hurting me for my classes, because people are like, who is this person? Mm. Even though I've been in the industry forever. I've been doing cakes for, like, 18 years now. It's crazy. But if I'm not posting in the groups, people don't know who I am.
There is a bit of that too, but also I think class sales have been down for several years.
Yeah.
But have you seen the cake yet?
I'm looking for it. Is it on her business page?
It's on the the Debbie Does Cakes page.
Okay, that's where I'm going right now.
Which she still has the best name in the world.
Debbie, I know. She's an awesome lady.
I love it when people like explain to her the joke. and she's just like, I know, I did it on purpose.
It's just taking forever. We'll just keep talking, and then okay. All of a sudden it'll pop up, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, that's an amazing cake.
That's right. Okay, so tell me, because you had said in our preamble, it's the year of Riva. What does that mean?
Oh, yes. Okay, so I'm claiming this year as the year of Riva. The last time I did that was in 2018, and that's when I won Wedding Cake Championships, and also when I filmed Halloween Wars, and I won. And then last year I gave the year to Jean. So last year was the year of Jean, which you all know. She had a fabulous year as well.
Yeah.
So this year I'm taking it back because I'm like, Jean, I need another year, please. She's like, have it, Riva. And I'm like, okay, so it's the year of Riva again.
Awesome.
So my goal this year is to be on a magazine cover. I need to be in Cake Masters again this year. I'm semi-retired from television competitions just because I needed to take a break, but I may be on a couple shows that have already filmed. And it's just the year Riva. I'm taking it back. I need to get back out there. I need to do more exciting things. Not that I don't do exciting things all the time, but I just really want to focus on Riva this year and my cakes.
I think that's awesome. I will endorse that.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
The year of Riva.
Well, and that works because we declared on the podcast that I'm almost done editing that will drop today.
I saw the cake.
Did you see the cake?
Yes, it's amazing.
Oh my God, right?
Oh my God, she's brilliant.
It's like, it's been an ongoing joke for several years now that if I ask my husband, do you know what this is? I overdid it with Debbie Gourd cake. So he'd say, well, it's a massage table, but it's obviously a Debbie Gourd cake if you're asking. But it's been several months since we've done that, because I guess she was taking a bit of a break from social media or something. But so when that was this morning, I was like, come over here. Do you know what this is? And he goes, it's one of those reel-to-reel tape recorders. And I was like, yeah, it looks like one, doesn't it? And he goes, wait, is that a Debbie Gourd cake? And I'm like, it is! Oh, my God!
It is. I just shared it, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And he's all like, I thought you were showing me old-school recording equipment because you were going to go old-school with a podcast. And I was like, oh, no, because I've used those machines in radio class in journalism school. And no, I will take digital. Thanks. But no, oh, my God. Right.
No, that's amazing. The details are so beautiful. Everybody needs to go to Debbie Gourd's page. Debbie Does Cakes.
Yes. Yes.
It'll be on there, I'm sure.
Follow and worship accordingly.
Yes. Because she is the queen of everything. But yeah. Food realism, she is the queen.
Yep.
She's the queen of details.
Yep.
And making a cake not look like a cake.
Yes.
All hail Queen Debbie!
Several people have sound cues. Usually if they get discussed a lot or if they show up on the show, like Kyla's the cake nexus and Mike McCary is the cake god.
Cake nexus!
Mike McCary.
He's never been on the show, but
Riva's going to need a sound because it's the year of Riva.
Okay, so what? All right, let's think about this. What's your sound?
That we're going to have a sound for Riva, and I'm going to have to be on all the time this year.
That's fine. You can come. If you want to come on, like, with a little comment for every episode, we can do that.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay.
Because I know it sounds so weird, but I have, I guess maybe because I just turned 50. Oh, my gosh, I'm so old. But I feel that I've been around for so long that people just, it's just Reva. But I feel like I'm not, and I don't want this to sound like I'm, I don't know, it's, I feel always weird saying this, but I feel like I'm better than what people think I'm capable of.
If it's any consolation, I've been chasing you for like 2 years to be on the show for reasons of worship.
Thank you. It's so weird. It is weird because I think of myself as like the people's caker. Like I'm very down to earth and I'm very approachable. You can come up and talk to me if you see me. And I think that because of that, people just think, oh, it's just Reva. Oh, yay, there's Reva. But I don't have like any sort of cult celebrity status in the cake world. And there's something wrong with that.
I think you actually do because the first time, I'm trying to think when I first, probably would have been an Austin show. I just assumed you were like in that cake celebrity realm where I hadn't met and it would be weird if I just came up to you and said hi.
No. But maybe I am in that realm, but I don't.
I think you might be in that
anybody
realm.
Anybody can come up to me and say hi. Like, I'm just, because I'm in it just like you guys are. Like, I'm in it like everybody else is in it. I'm in the grind. Trying to make money, because we know we don't make money at cakes. Trying to learn everything that I can learn. Trying to keep some things secret, because I just want to be the only person doing it. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. So it's the year of Reva. I'm claiming it.
It's the year of Reva. Okay, so we need to think of a sound for you. What kind of sound? What kind of... We may not get to it right now. We have to think about it. Well, you know,
we need to think about it, but I think it should be something Disney-esque or...
Oh, like a Tinkerbelly sparkly sort of...
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I can do that.
Reva, Reva, Reva.
It's the year
Reva,
of Reva! Reva.
When we were talking about, like, lawyers sicking on people, Disney has a team of lawyers. Because I have been cease and desisted by Disney over a beating pattern, like, 20 years ago. Oh, yeah. I got a cease and desist.
I've only ever heard of the stories. I've never actually spoken to an actual person.
Okay, well, so the story is I made for my husband, who loves classic poo. He does not like Disney poo, in fact. He likes classic poo because his mother read it to him every day. And I made him, back when I used to do, before I even did cakes, when I did beading, I beaded him a classic poo thing. And so I basically took the picture, made it a graph, beaded this for him, and I posted the graph and the picture on my KimberlyChapman.com website. So before Eat the Evidence even existed. And it had been there for several months. And then I got, but I got like a paper letter in the mail from Disney cease and desist ordering me that if I didn't remove that within whatever period, that basically I would get sued.
Ooh, but then doesn't that fall under the fan art laws?
Well, see, yes.
Probably, they probably would not have actually sued
probably
you.
Probably not. And if I had had tons of money, I probably could have fought it, but that's what they rely on. I was an immigrant in the United States, going through immigration procedures, also trying to get pregnant, and saving up for IVF. I did not need to fight Disney in court over a stupid graphic.
Yeah, you just pull it down. But it's odd now, because I think times have changed. Obviously, they can pull that card whenever they want to.
Yeah.
But if you look at everything on social media, there's like whole sites and pages that are just Disney fan arts.
Yeah. I mean, DeviantArt alone must drive them crazy. But this was before a lot of that. This would have been in 2000 or 2001. This was a long time ago.
Yeah, they were hardcore back then.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they did a takedown on a baby's grave. So, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
listen, I don't do, unless I've been contacted by them or another company that is licensed by them. I don't do any character cakes at all. You'll see that I don't know if I even posted it, but I did a thing for another company where I went down and worked with the chefs at Disney World, and they actually gave me products in which to use that they'll use in the parks. And that's the only time I've ever really made like a Disney cake.
Yeah.
Anything else, it's a vague Disney cake.
Yeah.
Or any other company. It's not just Disney, like Marvel and all that.
No, I mean, a couple of years later, when I did have a baby, I knit her a hat that I called the fuzzy blue monster who likes baked good hat. Because I was worried children, because this had happened to me. And actually, I'll link to it in when I put the show notes up. But like on my beating page, because I was mad, I put a graphic over the Pooh graphics that says gone by order of Disney.
That's funny.
Yeah, because they couldn't get me on that. But, like, no. So I was like, is Children's Television Workshop going to come after me for, you know who, the blue fuzzy monster who likes baked goods? But I think, again, this is all pre-social media. I don't think they could even keep up with it at this point.
No, can you imagine? I mean, just, it's changed so much.
Yeah.
It just changed so much. I think they go so long now. It has changed so much. It's kind of funny.
I think now, these days, they must just go after at people who are selling stuff and at a high enough scale.
Yeah, like direct knockoff stuff as well.
Yeah.
Because you can, it's just crazy. Just go Google it.
Yeah.
Or search it on Instagram and you just see everybody's homemade items or homemade like Mickey ears or homemade cookies. And so, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, because BBC figured that out. Because there was, I had knit my husband a Dalek and the pattern for that had a takedown. And it was all in the knitting communities how this woman had been so upset because she wasn't making any money. She just knit herself a Dalek. People liked it. She threw up the pattern as a gift to the world. And it was celebrating fandom and how mean it was that BBC would do this. And the negative publicity in the Doctor Who fandom at the time was bad enough that BBC went, okay, fine, you can post it. And to my knowledge now, BBC does not, like, if you're going to knit a Doctor Who scarf, they're like, good, please also buy some DVDs. Like, they're not being jerks about it anymore. But Disney, as far as I know, is still
no,
scary.
Because they can make money off of it. They can make money off of the cross promotion and all that.
Okay, so it's going to be the year of Reva, and Reva's going we're going to find out a way for Reva to conveniently drop random messages into episodes all year long.
Yes, and then I also need everyone to tell me actually what I should specialize in this year.
Ooh.
Because I do know how to do a lot of things, but I want to specialize in one thing. So far, Jean has voted that I should really concentrate on wedding cakes and my sugar flowers. So anybody else out there, go ahead and let me know.
Okay, so where would you prefer them let you know?
I guess on Facebook or Instagram at Mercy Cakes.
Okay, yes, because I will put all the links in the show notes for anyone who doesn't already have them.
In any group and just get my name out there, people.
We are going to promote Reva.
If Reva gets promoted enough for the year of Reva, then Reva will have a big raffle.
Oh, so we're going to have to be Team Reva.
Yes.
Team Reva.
All the way.
Yeah.
And as I always joke about this, as soon as I get my big check from Halloween Wars, what is it? It's 2020 and I still haven't received it. But as soon as I get my big check, I'm going to have a big raffle. So
they haven't paid you yet?
No, but somebody made a slight error. And so we're still waiting for our big check.
Oh my God. Pay her. Halloween Wars, pay her. And Team Reva. I'm going to start
it. And my teammates.
Yes. 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 All of you.
You can find me at Mercy Cakes on all social media platforms.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I kind of want to keep chatting with you, but like we said from before, I have to go pick up my kid and take her
no
to
worries.
Dance class.
Go pick up your kid and then we'll continue another time when you have my soundbite.
Excellent. Well, you know, you or anyone can always drop me voicemail on Messenger and I will put it in shows.
Perfect.
It caps out at a minute, but I have editing software. So
no,
you can.
And guess what? I'm going to be at like the San Diego Cake Show and then SoFlo and then Cake Expo. So if you need a remote reporter, just let me know.
I would love it if you would do that. Oh my God, I've begged so many people. Please do that.
Oh my goodness. All you have to do is ask for me.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, yes, please. Please, 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 please. Yes, definitely do that. Okay, I'm going to go pick up my child and be the responsible adult that I am. But thank you so much for coming on. Finally, it only costs.
Yes, and the next time we'll talk about my addiction to Percy Pigs.
Well, I saw that you had. Was it like sauce or something? It's like,
well, I don't have it. You all have it.
But you were posting about it.
Well, because everybody just tags me on their posts.
Oh, I thought someone had sent you some.
I'm addicted to the piggy.
Okay, so we might need to send you some. Is what you're saying?
Well, I'm off sugar right now, but yes.
Okay. All right. That might have to be a future bribe, now that I've bribed you once with hobnobs. You know, I haven't had hobnobs since I gave you guys all hobnobs at CI. I haven't actually had one again since, because I'm diabetic. I should buy myself some hobnobs.
Well, I'm off sugar right now for a couple months, and then...
Okay.
If I get a pig in the mail, I will certainly indulge.
Okay. All right. Then yes, these are, I feel like we have 2020's worth of plans.
Yay.
Excellent. I'm doing the Mr. Burns excellent fingers right now on radio so nobody can see. Yes, Team Reva. Okay.
It's not 2020, it's the year of Reva.
It is also, we declared in the last episode, the year of badass, so you can be a badass Reva.
Well, there you go.
Yes, so.
It's also the year of the rat, so maybe.
That's fine.
Whatever.
Rats get stuff done. Rats are recyclers who get things done.
Oh, okay.
There I don't know go. If that's in the Chinese lore. I just know that that's.
Well, it's also the year of Reva.
Yes, it's the year of Reva. Okay. I'm going to go be a good adult. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
I will talk to you again soon.
Have a lovely day.
You too. Bye.
Okay.
Reva, Reva, Reva. It's the year Reva, of Reva. Reva, Reva.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cakeformation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
Like, okay. Yeah. Delete, 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 delete.